Welcome to The Kitchen Table, a show dedicated to helping you escape diet culture, gain trust with food, honor your body, and live a brighter life. Hello and welcome back to The Kitchen Table. I am so glad you're here. I'm your host, Alicia Brown, an anti-diet registered dietitian nutritionist. And today I have such a fun episode in store for you. We're going to be talking about all the different types of eaters as described in the text Intuitive Eating by Evelyn Triboli and Elise Rush. These are the two dietitians that are the pioneers of intuitive eating. And I've got to ask, have you gotten your hands on the book Intuitive Eating yet? Again, it's by Evelyn Triboli and Elise Rush. I can't recommend this book enough. It has transformed my life and countless others. I recommend it to everyone, my family, my friends, and especially my clients. And every time I hear someone, their feedback after reading the book, they say like, wow, I feel like, Alicia, I feel like this book was written about me. I feel this book was written for me. And it rings so true for me because it was the same in my own experience reading the book that like, wow, this feels true. This feels like my own lived experience with dieting. And so it really illuminates for me as I hear this feedback about this book that we all have had this like a universal struggle with dieting. And we've all kind of felt like that dieting backlash. And we all kind of have like the same suffering, right? In terms of like wanting to change our bodies or wanting to manipulate food to change our bodies. And this book, the more feedback I hear from it and how true it was in my own experience, it just really illuminates that like, yes, these diets are just like certainly not working. And we all have the ability to at least like intellectually understand that we have an intuitive eater inside of us, like that we were born to eat intuitively. It's something that like logically so many of us can understand. And I think that's what creates such resonance in the book is because we can understand that we all have this intuitive eater inside of us. Now, what takes like where the dissonance comes in with the book is like that trust leap into the practice of actually embodying intuitive eating. That trust leap requires us to actually like ditch the dieting mentality and fully embrace our intuitive eater. And that's something that I work on in my practice because I know that like it takes a lot of guts to abandon the conditions that we've learned on how to eat, on how to look, right? Like it takes a lot of trust. It takes a lot of faith to abandon all of the conditioning that we have, all of the dieting rules we've had, all of the trust that we put into diets. It can feel like, wow, like this really should work. This really should be the way that I should eat to look a certain way. And it really takes a lot of trust to like abandon all of those thoughts and to embrace our intuitive eater. And that's why I have my practice, is to help people feel supported in the practice of intuitive eating as they explore what it might look like to actually trust their bodies in the food experience and beyond. I don't know even how I got onto that tangent, but I guess like my overall message there is to like consider or to implore you to consider buying the book, Intuitive Eating. You can find it on Amazon, a used copy for like $4.99. I mean, like incredibly cheap. Or better yet, hit up your local bookstore and ask if they have the text Intuitive Eating. They just came out with the latest edition. They are marvelous. The authors of Intuitive Eating are Evelyn Triboli and Elise Resch. Marvelous, marvelous. I cannot recommend the book enough. And today's content for this episode is coming directly from the book on how they describe different types of eaters. And there's the careful eater we'll talk about. There is the professional dieter. And then there are four types of what we call unconscious eaters. And we're going to break down all of the characteristics that these different types of eaters embody. And the reason that I feel it's so important for us to talk about these different types of eaters is for you to gain an understanding maybe of where your current relationship is with food right now. In order to think about intuitive eating or in order to like know what intuitive eating is, we have to first assess our current relationship with food. And this episode is intended to create resonance between how your relationship with food is right now and how it might correlate with these different types of eating styles. And so this episode, again, is to help create resonance about your eating style in comparison to these eating styles that I'll describe And ultimately, it's to offer some hope or direction in what intuitive eating provides and how you were actually born an intuitive eater, but all of these different types of eaters are just, they've manifested as a result of a diet culture, the society that we live in, all of the rules that we followed, and also other things like the amount of time we have, the amount of money we have. There's different things that kind of shape the ways that we eat, and that's what we're going to dive into so that you can relate in your own experience about how your current food situation is like and how you might desire in a different way to reconnect with your intuitive eater after listening to this episode. But before we go into the different types of eaters, I've got to ask, as always, if you've gleaned anything from these episodes, if you feel like this information is beneficial or useful, or if it has in any way changed your relationship with food already, like, that is amazing. That's why I am here. And the greatest gift that you could do for me in return is to subscribe to this podcast. Like, right now on your phone, hit that subscribe button so you don't miss an episode. I'd love to see you here with me twice a week on Mondays and Thursdays. And also, if you feel like this information is beneficial for somebody else in your life, or if you just want to like spread it to the masses on social media, screenshot the podcast and share it. You can tag me back at aliciabrown.rdn on Instagram. I'd be so happy to reshare. And the more we can drum up like this interest and engagement in intuitive eating stuff, the more intuitive eating as a whole can like get on the charts, kind of squeezing in between all of the dieting kind of, fat phobic information out there and getting intuitive eating just like more on the map. That is like my purpose. That's like my goal, so that we can all abandon the dieting ways and more embrace food in our bodies in a more free and blissful way, so that we can live bigger, bolder, and of course, brighter lives. So that's what we're all about at the kitchen table. And I so appreciate your support, all of the messages that I've received so far about this podcast. Like, I could just like cry about just like, I'm so happy for all of you that are tuning in. And I'm so grateful that I'm truly grateful that you're here with me at the table as we talk about all things food, body, and life. Okay, enough sappiness, Alicia. Without further ado, let's talk about the different types of eaters. All right, so first I want to talk about the careful eater. And again, just a rundown of what we'll be talking about. We got the careful eater, the professional dieter, and four types of unconscious eaters. We're just going to breeze through these. And I encourage you as I go through each one to kind of reflect on your own experience with food and see if there's any similarities. Okay. All right. Again, the careful eater. If you listen back at the first episode where I described my poor relationship with food, you can definitely say that I was a very careful eater. In fact, I would say that careful eaters are bred through the food and nutrition profession. We are bred to be very careful eaters, careful about each and every food choice. Careful is a great word. You could also say like diligent, or scrutinizing of each and every food choice. Careful eaters look at every food label. They're comparing the food labels in the grocery store. They're asking about where food is sourced, how many grams maybe of macronutrients are in them. And they may not be following a diet specifically, but they're definitely like in very careful and like overly intentional or like hyper conscious about every food choice. And they have no problem of saying no to foods that don't fit their description. So even if they would like desire something else, they're gonna make a more careful choice sometimes. So they will intentionally restrict themselves in hopes of making a better slash healthier food choice for themselves. So they definitely are like queen at scrutinizing food situations. This comes with a lot of judgment over food, maybe even judgment over other people's foods and how other people eat. That can get kind of sketchy. And also like judgment for themselves and based on their food decisions. So for example, if they eat a food that's bad, they can feel very guilty and shameful and resentful towards themselves because they feel like they're doing their body a disservice. And of course, there are so many careful eaters out there because in the society that we live in, where it is preached that food is medicine, we can really feel like the things that we want, especially if they're bad for us, if we eat them, we're doing something really bad to our bodies. And of course we feel guilty after that. Of course we feel shameful or resentful towards ourselves for that because we don't want to feel like we're doing our body a disservice. And A lot of this information about the careful eater, scrutinizing foods, really being diligent with every food choice, this has a lot of like orthorexic components to it. So like orthorexia, if you're not familiar with that term, it's a specific type of eating disorder that has like boomed among the millennial population, in which we are very, very conscious about making a healthier choice, making maybe an alternative choice to the conventional choice. So maybe it's not like rice, maybe it's cauliflower rice. Maybe it's not regular noodles. Maybe it's like bean noodles, right? So it's like now the things that used to be flexible now are like, oh, we have to go like the next level with this food because it's like better for us and in a different way. And now our standards of food are changing. And actually that level of restriction or like avoidance or complete dismissal of foods and only eating a certain amount of foods that are considered like the healthiest, the best, that have a certain nutritional profile, these are the only ones that make the cut. Because there's so many more like health products out there or like quote unquote healthier foods on the market than ever before from like a nutrition standpoint. Thinking of foods that like have more protein, foods that have more fiber, right? Like, oh my gosh, we are giving these marketing messages from like all angles when we're going to just like purchase foods. And so like the careful eater is always going to do their best to make like the most healthiest choice so that they can feel good about what they're putting in their bodies. It makes complete sense to do so. I definitely can still put myself in the position of being that careful eater, especially like back when I had a very poor relationship with food. But here's where the poor relationship with food gets intertwined here, because a part of you might think, wow, that careful eater, like, they're really healthy. They're like the health nut of the friend group. Like they're the quote unquote healthy one, right? But it's really interesting on how being so healthy can become very unhealthy. Again, I talk about that in the episode where I talk about my poor relationship with food, episode 1. And when I really detail that out in our strive to make the healthiest food choice, we can really restrict ourselves. We can have a very rigid relationship with food. We become very inflexible in our relationship with food. We might start like saying no to social events if we know that there's like not food there that are permissible by the careful eating quote unquote diet. We can start turning down social events. We can start turning down foods when they're offered to us. We can start like not honoring food for pleasure. Food here is really seen as like food is medicine, not food is satisfying. And that can be very conflicting. That can lead to like a really confused relationship with food. And it comes with good intentions, as all of these eating modalities do. They come with such great intentions. Like, we want to nourish our body, right? We want to nourish our body the best we can. But the careful eater often negates pleasure with food. And that is a serious issue. It's often not flexible enough to be fluid in a family dynamic or even in a single dynamic where you just want to be social with people and friends and in society. It can often be like super time consuming as well. The careful eater takes so much time planning meals, making weekly meal plans for themselves, portioning out their foods, thinking about foods. Just it all takes too much time and effort and energy. The careful eater invests so much time and effort and energy in food, and ultimately this becomes exhausting for the careful eater. The careful eater can often experience diet backlash, even if they're not specifically following a diet, because the careful eater fails to be careful all of the time. Eventually, the careful eater gives in, quote unquote, to a food craving or gives in to something that they didn't find permissible, and they can really beat themselves up about it. And also, they can fall into the pattern of restricting or being very diligent about their diet to overeating and like feeling like they're out of control with food at times too. So that's what I call diet backlash, and the careful eater definitely can experience that, even if they feel like they're not on a diet. So the careful eater, you know, yes, can experience like restricting during the day and then overeating at night, or restricting during the weekends, restricting during the weekdays rather, and then overeating on the weekends. So that's kind of like that tug of war relationship with food. And every time the careful eater feels like they feel out of control with food or that they've overeaten, they do their best to tighten up their diet even more the next time, which leads to more restriction, right? And which leads to more overeating, because the body's biology, it just wants to get its needs met. And the careful eater is sometimes just too careful, too restrictive, too rigid to meet the body's needs. And so the careful eater can then experience diet backlash. They can feel really guilty about their food choices. And overall, this is just a really poor relationship with food. Ugh, and I so resonate as these words are coming out of my mouth because I was definitely that careful eater. And geez, I have to tell you right now, I am so glad to have a more fun and flexible relationship with food where I can actually like give myself something that I want. I can give myself permission to eat something that I want. I just so resonate with the careful eater and can say that reconnecting with my intuitive eater and abandoning the careful eater, but just being more conscious with food, not careful, but conscious, has led to just like more positive experiences with food. We'll get to more about the intuitive eating. We'll get to the intuitive eater later in the episode, but I just want to share a little bit about my own experience in that. Okay, cool. Let's talk about the professional dieter now. Now, the professional dieter is different than the careful eater because the careful eater is not necessarily following a diet right now. These are the people that say like, Alicia, I know you talk a lot about dieting and abandoning diets, but I'm just like eating healthy. I'm not following a diet. I'm just eating healthy. Now, that can be something good. This can still be a good relationship with food when I'm just saying like, I want to make healthy food choices. Like that could be a good relationship with food, or that could be, ugh, I'm eating healthy, but I have some body image stuff going on in the background and I'm really fearing weight gain and I'm really rigid about my food choices, but I'm just not following a diet. So it could be either of those things when we're talking about like, oh, I just want to eat healthy. Ugh. Question, you're wanting to just eat healthy. Is it still that you have just like a fun and flexible relationship with food at the same time? Or is it, oh, there's some body image stuff going on in the background and I'm kind of rigid with my food choices as the result? That I encourage you to explore if you're a person that just says, yeah, I just want to eat healthy. I'm not really following a diet, but you still feel feelings of guilt and resentment and shame because there's something in there about permission that maybe we should talk about. Maybe there's a little bit of a lack of permission in regards to making food choices in that conversation. Okay, but again, moving on to the professional dieter. The professional dieter is a perpetual dieter. These are easy to spot because you'll always see a professional dieter dieting. They constantly go from diet after diet after diet, really struggling with it. There's also that element of rigidity with food because they're trying to follow that diet to a T. They're always fasting or cutting calories or taking out carbs or taking out food groups. And they know everything. For that reason, they know everything about calories and grams and all of the things because they have just like scrutinized food labels, scrutinized foods for a long time, trying to follow diets to a T. But this way of eating often backfires on the professional dieter because every time we start a new diet or every time the professional dieter starts a new diet, it's not like they start with a clean slate. It's not like they start with a clean slate. They are just adding more food rules to their arsenal of food rules from prior diets that they've been on. This is how it typically happens most times. So say that they were on one diet, like the keto diet, that says like, okay, cut carbs. And now they're on another diet, like the Whole30, that says like, okay, now carbs are okay, just certain carbs. So now there's like conflicting food rules in the brain, and all diets have conflicting rules, right? So the more dieting rules we accumulate, the more frustrated we get trying to make food choices because it becomes increasingly harder to make a food choice that satisfies all the food rules in the brain. So this is just like in last Thursday's episode when Natalie said like she was in the kitchen and there was like this moment of like, what the heck do I even eat right now? What the heck can I even eat right now? Have you ever felt that way too? Of just like, what can I have? What satisfies all these food rules? That can be so frustrating. And what is triggering for the professional dieter? What triggers them into starting another diet is really the feeling of being fat or the feeling of gaining weight. This is like the catalyst for the professional dieter to hop on another diet. And this feeling can be intense. It can be like an urge. It can be like, okay, I have to do something about this and I have to do something about this now. And diet culture just conditions us to say like, hey, if you want to lose weight, this is how you do it. Just jump on the next diet. And we just see like, oh, the weight loss industry is like a multi-billion dollar industry. They just feed off of that urge. They feed off of your vulnerabilities, your deepest vulnerabilities of being at a larger body. They feed off of that vulnerability and they offer you a solution and a bunch of false promises. They get you to engage in diets that fail and they keep you just in the loop of going on diet after diet after diet as they're taking all of your money and your energy and your time, etc. Oh, I just get on my soapbox talking about diet culture and the ways that, you know, they just like wrap us in to their false promises and rah, rah, rah. We can talk about that more on every episode moving forward. But really, what drives each food choice for the professional dieter is weight loss, not health. That's another good distinction from the careful eater. Weight loss really fuels each dieting decision, each food decision for the professional dieter. And all of these conflicting food rules and being so obsessed with weight loss really impacts all areas of the perpetual dieter's life. And this is where the perpetual dieter, when they fall off a diet, when they feel like the diet is not sustainable anymore, they can really, they can go in so many different ways. One, they're feeling super horrible that they've failed yet another diet. They believe that they've failed the diet when in reality, the diet failed them. We talk about that in last week's episode, What is Intuitive Eating? It's not that they failed the diet, it's that the diet failed them. That's the truth, but they can feel that deep feeling of defeat, failing another diet. And also when they do quote unquote fall off the bandwagon, they can feel like, okay, now they can feel very out of control with food during that time too. They can often overeat to the point of uncomfortable fullness. They can feel out of control with food. This can result in a binge. And this is the way that the body is trying to compensate from all of the restriction from being on the diet. So you can see in the same way as the careful eater, the professional dieter can also experience dieting backlash. And the problem here is that with the massive restriction and the massive overeating, there's a lot of weight fluctuations that occur. There's a lot of yo-yo dieting and weight fluctuations, and it makes it increasingly difficult to lose weight the more diets that we're on. Yes, dieting is a constant predictor of weight gain. We slow the metabolism. The body doesn't trust us because it thinks we're in famine all of the time. It doesn't trust that we'll feed it. And so, yes, it slows the metabolism and makes it harder to lose weight the more diets that we're on. And more so than that, even more tragic than that, the chronic dieter is very susceptible to more disordered eating behaviors. Dieting is like a stepping stone to an eating disorder. Sometimes the perpetual dieter that has a very poor relationship with food and a very poor relationship with their body, they can dabble in other really harmful behaviors that can be just harmful to their health overall and this desperation to lose weight. And they become at a higher risk for developing an eating disorder. So that is a very serious conversation. It starts with something that we're just conditioned to do, like hop on a diet if we're feeling like we need to lose weight. And it can end in such a poor relationship with food that it affects just our life in just a very massive way. And it affects our long-term health in a very massive way. This is a really serious conversation to have. And the professional dieter, if they're really sinking into disordered eating behaviors, can really be at risk for developing an eating disorder, and they really can need some help and maybe some medical support and intervention. So even if you know somebody that has dieted all the time and they seem to like always want to make the healthy choice, but they're really struggling with their health and their weight, this message is for them to say that there's a way out of that dieting trap. And that is, again, reconnecting with our intuitive eater. I encourage us to like venture into reconnecting with our intuitive eater sooner than later, because the more diets that we're on, the more susceptible we are to an eating disorder, the less happy we are with our weight. It's just such a cyclical thing that affects us so much physically, but also mentally and emotionally, and that's not talked about enough. So that is the professional dieter. And I encourage you just like midway through this episode, just like reflect on your own experience. Are you anything like the careful eater where you're super careful about all your food choices, almost like hypersensitive to each food choice, hypercritical of yourself as you make these food choices? Or are you more like the professional dieter where you've tried on diet after diet after diet, still being unhappy with your weight and unhappy with yourself as you continue to fail these diets? Take a look at your own experience and see maybe if you share any similar qualities or characteristics in your own current relationship with food as you think about these two types of eaters. We're going to move on now to the unconscious eater. Now, in the book, they talk about four different types of unconscious eaters. There's the chaotic unconscious eater. There's the refuse not unconscious eater. There's the waste not unconscious eater. And the emotional unconscious eater. Unconscious usually means multitasking, usually means not connecting with the body during a food experience. And we've all been there. I mean, yes, I've definitely like not been fully conscious in eating experiences. That's actually like a muscle that needs to be worked, right? Like, especially in today's day and age where like we can be distracted all the time by our phones, media, television, radio, you name it. We have it all at our fingertips and we can be so easily distracted. And being distracted is not being conscious. And an unconscious eater is just usually distracted and they're definitely not attuning to their body. They're definitely worried about other things or other external factors. So keep that in mind as we talk about each of these unconscious eaters. The first is the chaotic unconscious eater. Now, the chaotic unconscious eater, they just have a really busy schedule. They are super busy and they just eat when they can and they don't know when they're going to be able to eat again. So whenever they have an eating window, they can feel kind of out of control with food and very disconnected from their body and the experience. As they eat all of what they can of what and what's available, sometimes they can feel uncomfortably full and then they can not eat for long periods of time. So of course the chaotic unconscious eater eats whatever they can when they can because there's always the predicted famine afterwards. Now this is like the feast and famine concept, right? Where there's the overeating and the undereating. And of course the body overeats when it can because it's predicting that starvation is just around the corner. So that is the chaotic unconscious eater, has a very tug of war relationship with food. And what is true for the chaotic unconscious eater most times is that even though they feel like disconnected from their bodies during the food experience or distracted during the food experience or out of control during the food experience, they can also feel the same feelings of guilt or shame or resentment after eating because they can feel uncomfortably full oftentimes in their body after the eating experience is done. And that can elicit these feelings of guilt. There's a lack of permission there when eating the foods, a lack of intentionality when eating the foods. And also, as a consequence to that, there can be some like residual feelings afterwards of not feeling well, feeling tired physically, or just like kind of being mad at ourselves or resentful towards ourselves for eating in that way when really the body's just trying to get its needs met. Again, the body's just trying to get its needs met with food because it doesn't trust when we're going to feed it again. It doesn't trust when we're going to feed it again because we could go hours without eating, and that's like the body's compensating mechanism. It's going to eat when it can because it doesn't trust we'll feed it soon enough later. So there's perpetual overeating and undereating for the chaotic unconscious eater. They care about nutrition and diet, but not in the moment of eating. They care about it after. That's what elicits the feelings of guilt or shame. I'm not sure if you can relate to that in your own experience, perhaps, of feeling chaotic unconscious eating tendencies. Okay, next, the refuse not unconscious eater. The refuse not unconscious eater, they are vulnerable to eating food when it's available, when it's left out, especially if this is a food that they're trying to restrict. So the refuse not unconscious eater is vulnerable to things like candy jars or food on the table. Like if it's out, if there's like a couple of bites left on the plate, they won't refuse that food. They won't tap into their body to really determine if they really want that food or not. If it's available, they eat it. And this can stem back from even like times of, you know, our grandparents or great-grandparents maybe, or relatives for some maybe living through the Great Depression. There was definitely a lot of refuse not unconscious eaters coming out of the Great Depression because they lived during a time where like food was scarce, right? Like they wouldn't waste a crumb of food because they worked hard to get that food and they might not know where their next meal is coming from. So of course, these are the parents that ask their kids, right? Like don't leave anything on your plate, right? Like clean your plate. Because there's predicted famine there as well. And there's this element of like just not wanting to refuse the food, especially if we don't know where the next meal is coming from. And that brings us to the waste not unconscious eater. The waste not unconscious eater values the food dollar. The waste not unconscious eater values the food dollar. I like that term, the food dollar, that's in the text, intuitive eating again. The food dollar means like how much we've paid for the food really matters to the waste not unconscious eater. The waste not unconscious eater says like, wow, like we paid a lot for this food. We have to eat it all. That's the mentality. We have to eat as much as we can because we paid a lot for this food. And have you ever been there like going to a restaurant and you order this like expensive entree and you might not like totally love it, but because you paid a lot of money for it, you really feel like obligated to eat it. That's definitely waste not tendencies there. And in this situation, again, it's like we don't have the ability to really tap into the body and determine like, are we full? Are we still hungry? Is this satisfying? All of those questions kind of get thrown out the window and the food dollar reigns supreme in that conversation. And that's what's most important to the waste not eater. We don't want to waste the money, so we don't waste the food is the mentality. When the body might not agree with that, the body might already be full, the body might not be getting satisfied, but the food dollar reigns supreme for the waste not unconscious eater. So unconscious in this way just means like we're not really connecting with the body. We're not really connecting with the body's needs, and we're valuing the food dollar above the body's needs. The refuse not unconscious eater values the food that's available over the body's needs. The chaotic and conscious eater values the time available rather than the body's needs. The last is the emotional unconscious eater. Now, this emotional unconscious eater is a little bit different. This is where the emotions reign supreme in the conversation. It disconnects us from our bodies. Oftentimes, the emotional unconscious eater is going to eat to soothe, but maybe even to the extent of like wanting to numb the emotion. The emotional unconscious eater might feel like food is the only thing that's available to them to help them soothe their emotions and to also numb themselves from maybe feeling those emotions, feeling the pain associated with the emotions. The emotional eater can also use food as a way to like punish themselves. And these are often symptoms of deeper issues, right? Like the food is the coping mechanism for maybe a different symptom of different, a deeper feeling or emotion that's not really being addressed. And many times like these emotional unconscious eaters, they don't really feel safe maybe to like really feel or express their feelings. And so they use food to soothe, but all the way to the extent to maybe numb or punish. And this could be something as common as like, you know, eating something sugary during like times of stress. I know that I even hopped on my Instagram stories recently and like talked about that, kind of feeling stressed and still allowing ourselves permission to eat. Like that's so okay. Emotional eating is so okay. We'll talk about that in a different episode. But this could also result in a very still poor relationship with food when this engagement with food is incredibly unconscious. We're very disconnected with the body and the experience, and we're solely using food to numb. So generally, this results in chronically overeating and maybe even like entering into like an altered state with food or zoning out while eating food rather. And so those are the four types of unconscious eaters. And we talked about the careful eater and the professional dieter on top of those four unconscious eaters. So again, just take a little pause into this episode and ask yourself like, who do I most relate to here? What is my eating style most like? Who am I most like right now? Am I most like the careful eater? Am I most like the professional dieter? Or the chaotic unconscious eater, the refuse not unconscious eater, the waste not unconscious eater, or the emotional unconscious eater? Think about in your own experience where your relationship with food is right now. And I want to introduce you lastly to the intuitive eater. Oh, it's so fun to talk about the intuitive eater because there's no tug of war relationship with food there. There's no guilt or shame or resentment when eating foods or after eating foods anymore. There is permission to eat any and all foods. The intuitive eater beats to their hunger and fullness signals. They listen to their body. They are attuning to their body. They're able to refuse food when it's not satisfying or when they are physically and emotionally satisfied. They're able themselves to determine what, when, or how much to eat. They're not boxed into a rigidity of a specific diet. They know what food experience they need to create to have it be satisfying. They are flexible with their food choices. And overall, they have a healthy relationship with food. And they feel physically, mentally, and emotionally well with food. So it's not really that tug of war relationship. They're able to honor and respect their bodies in the process by first attuning to their bodies in the process. That's a common denominator of all of these different types of eaters, is there's this lack of attunement. The careful eater is looking to health and food labels and et cetera to determine their decisions. The professional dieter is looking to weight loss to determine their decisions. And all these types of unconscious eating, they're looking for different ways to like rationalize their food decisions or to eat in general. And the intuitive eater doesn't look outward. They look inward to their inner food experience. They recognize that pleasure is part of the food experience. They recognize that they can have food again after they've had a satisfying food experience, so there's less of the restricting and binging or eating less and feeling out of control of food at times. It's not as cyclical, and at the end of the day or after eating intuitively for a time, we find that like weight stabilizes and health improves. So there's none of those weight fluctuations as well with the true intuitive eater. There's just like the normal body changing and aging stuff that happens through things like, I don't know, pregnancy, like I just went through, breastfeeding, like I'm going through now, and, you know, things like menopause that I have to look forward to, right? So like all of these different types of things are just normal changing, aging circumstances of the body, but there's no like force to get back to a smaller size with intuitive eating. There's like this recognition of the body and the desire to honor it with food, and that's what creates that healthy relationship with food. In contrast to the dieting ways and in contrast to the tug-of-war relationship with food, there's this overall confidence in knowing, that innate knowing, that like blissful, true, innate knowing that we know how to nourish ourselves with food and that we don't need to rely on a diet to know how to do that. Okay? So that is like the essence of the intuitive eater. Toddlers are like great at this. We talked about this at the last episode too. Like they are allowed like free access to food. They just eat when they're hungry. They stop when they're full. They move on to the next thing. Toddlers are a great representation of this. They are true intuitive eaters, and we all have a true intuitive eater underneath all of the conditioning from all of these different types of eating styles, right? All of the things from our childhood too, all the things from diet culture throughout the years as well, and all the diets that we've been on. Underneath all of that conditioning, we do have access to our own inner intuitive eater, and that is a blissful thing to access. That is a blissful way to eat and a more free, flexible, fun, enjoyable way to live. And that's why we're here, to talk about how to reconnect with that intuitive eater so that we can live bigger, bolder, and brighter lives by sifting through all of our food and body stuff that causes us anxiety, that causes us to be at war, really at war with food and at war with our bodies in the process. So ditching that dieting mentality entirely and embracing intuitive eating is really the name of the game. And I gotta tell you, I referenced that book, Intuitive Eating, at the beginning of the episode. You gotta get a hold on that book, because one thing that I hear, I told you already, that like people just find such resonance with this book. But the intellectual understanding of intuitive eating is very different than the embodiment of intuitive eating. And here's why. The intellectual understanding being at this point in the process, like if you understand this episode and you're at this point where like, wow, this makes total sense, Alicia. Why didn't I think about this before? You understand from an intellectual standpoint that diets don't work. Cool. Now it's time to like make the leap to actually abandoning dieting mentalities altogether and trusting your body instead. That leap, I feel like, is the reason for my practice, because I feel like that's where a lot of the fear sets in. That's where a lot of the tension sets in, because it's like, holy crap, I understand that this is probably the best thing for me to do, but I would need to abandon dieting in the process. I would need to abandon my current relationship with food. I would need to abandon all of the rules that I've been on for years. I would need to abandon everything I know basically about health and food and nutrition. And I would just need to trust myself. That is scary. And of course it is, because we've been taught these things for our entire lives. Of course it's scary. But the reason my practice exists is because I want to help you make that leap into intuitive eating, because I know it takes a degree of trust. I know it takes a degree of vulnerability and trying on something new and radically different, like the anti-diet way. Radically different, unconventional. But I know that once you try it on, you'll go from just intellectually understanding that it works to the embodiment of the practice of intuitive eating. And once you do that, you will never feel the need to hop on another diet again. Cool. So that is this episode about these different types of eaters, the careful eater, professional dieter, and four types of unconscious eaters. If you have any questions about this episode at all, I know it was a lot of information. I know it was a lot of information. There's a lot going on. So feel free to DM me on Instagram at aliciabrown.rdn. And if you have anything that you'd like to learn about intuitive eating in future episodes, feel free to hit me up there with any questions that you have about this episode or topics that you'd like me to address in future episodes. This podcast is for you. I want this podcast to change the relationships you have with food in your body. So I need your help to do that. Send me the questions you have. Send me any topics that you'd like me to talk about. I will certainly cover them on the podcast. And I look forward to seeing you on the next episode. Cool. Have a good day.